Listen, every day at around 2:30, my armpits get sweaty.
Okay.
And I used to hate raising my hand in class to answer a question. But one day I had to say, who cares? I have swampy armpits, and I'm going to answer all the questions I want. I'm swampy and I'm proud.
Tina, where are you going with this?
I'm saying just because you think something is embarrassing doesn't mean you have to be embarrassed by it. We all have our swampy pits. My swampy pits is swampy pits.
Mm-hmm. Have you tried Dad's deodorant? It's like military grade.
He gets it on the dark web.
TBTL!
I'm a man of few words, but those words will count, and so will my actions.
You, like, are definitely, you're the real thing that a lot of people say. So do you think if you weren't, I mean, if you were less fake, do you think you would be, or you could, or you have a desire to?
If you feel uncomfortable at any time, give me the sign.
I keep losing at deals, and I don't want to make a deal anymore.
Well, all you have to do is study it out. Just study it out, and you'll see. You haven't done your homework, buddy.
Hey, you know what time it is? It's time to get real.
All right, let's get real, everybody. Welcome to this episode of TBTL. It's Thursday, right? Yes, it's a Thursday afternoon edition of TBTL. It is the show that's too beautiful to live.
We're the number one show in hospitals and on sinking riverboat casinos.
I don't know if I already said this. It's episode number 2577. Luke is out today. I'm in. My name is Andrew Walsh, filling in once again. I think things are going okay so far.
I'm not handling this well. I don't feel competent. I'm depressed.
By the way, got a lot of great responses to yesterday's show. People love it when I start the show talking about my dreams, like early on in the show. Not like burying the dream segment to later, but like starting it with the dreams. A lot of great feedback on that, so thank you for that. We'll try to do some more dream talking today, but we also have some real topics to get into as well.
I think we're pretty heavy on the bad news right now, so maybe just sprinkle in some positive, a spoonful of sugar and such.
That is what we are going to try to do today. Another horrible day in America after preventable tragedy in Florida. We're not going to talk about it because that's not really what TBTL does, but... you know, it's kind of weird to just go ahead and plow ahead with our kind of, I guess, trivial or relatively trivial topics. But plow ahead we shall. We're going to do it with a couple of great folks who are here in the studios of Walsh, Walsh & Dormat with me today. The first guy, you know him pretty well. He is on the show quite a bit, maybe even more than me these days. He's host of the... Or a co-host, Northwest Nerd Podcast is where you can find him. And if you don't know who it is, how about this clue?
His lips are softer than the baked potato I practice on.
I'll give you a second. That's right. It's Nick Jarn. Hey, Nick.
Hey.
Hey, where's your mic?
It's on now.
How you doing?
Cool. I'm also ready to foreground my dreams, so let's do this.
I am sorry that I objectified you so early on with that drop.
You know what's weird is I was licking my lips when you were playing that drop. It's almost like you're psychic. Or in my dreams. I don't know.
I don't know. Also joining us here for her first time on the show, she's co-founder of the news and culture site Seattle-ish. She writes and reports for all kinds of publications, and she's apparently a former listener of TBTL.
Hey, what happened?
Her name is Hannah Brooks Olson. Hey, what happened?
Oh man, I knew this was gonna happen. Okay, so I'm gonna jump right
just
in.
Chalk it up to good taste.
Here's what happened. When Andrew emailed me and asked if I wanted to be on the show, I feel like he didn't say ever on the air that my reaction was, I have been waiting for this email my entire Seattle life, because that's actually the first thing I said.
Yeah, you did say that. I wanted to downplay it a little bit.
Yeah.
I didn't want... So you listened to the show where we talked
yes.
about your email.
Oh, okay, of course
yeah.
I did. Okay. Why? Because I'm vain. Because right. I'm a vain person.
True story. I can get people to listen to TBTL. There are people in my life, the only times they listen is like the show before they see me and the show after
of
they
course.
See me.
Mm. Of course.
Yes.
What happened was years ago, I used to listen every single day. I was super dedicated. And then I got a new phone. It was my first ever like nice iPhone. And I just never got back into podcasting because I was mad at the Stitcher app. So I listened to music for like a while. Then I got back into podcasting. But now there's all these super wonky, policy heavy, like crunchy podcasts. And that's all I ever listen to. And
what's your favorite one of those?
Yeah, what are you listening to?
Oh my gosh. So I tell everyone to listen to The Uncertain Hour, which is a marketplace pod that the first season is just about like welfare and like block granting and how welfare reform changed the way that states are allocated funds. And then the second season is about regulations. Like, it's a whole season of podcasting just about United States regulations. So
wow.
That's the kind of fun person I am at parties.
What do you listen to for fun then? Do you like kind of kick back with the daily?
True crime. Yeah, things about people getting murdered, usually. But since being contacted, I've resubscribed. I'm back on my TBTL.
This is my model for getting more people to listen to this show.
Put them on the show.
Just going to keep on
one by one. You'll have every person in America on the show.
Exactly. Let's see here. Oh, I want to say we do have a bunch of stuff coming up. I didn't mention the stories, and you guys don't even know. I haven't told you guys what's
coming in blind. I even asked, and you're like, "Don't worry about it."
I didn't know when you asked. I came up with these just recently.
Okay.
You guys might have seen this though. The Jamaican bobsled team, they just lost their coach, and the coach is saying, I'm taking my bobsled with me.
Literally taking the bobsled?
Why does he have the bobsled?
First of all, sexist. It's a she. Secondly,
I'm sorry, I was picturing John Candy in my defense.
Yeah,
I'm
exactly right. 100%.
The bobsled coach was a woman. I will tell you exactly what happened there, but it is definitely a strange turn of events because this is a pretty celebrated team. I think most people know this is the first women's bobsled team from Jamaica ever.
And they're awesome. They're like, yes, they're rad. Yes.
Yes. So anyway, we'll talk about that. Also, do you know that one of the most expensive luxury items you can buy in Iraq right now is a cool phone number?
Like a vanity phone number?
Basically a vanity phone number. I have a lot of dazzling deets on that.
I love
that. Also, I don't know if we're going to have time to get to this, but my girlfriend just posted this on Facebook. And so I figure that's the
great
first.
Great tease, Walsh.
That's how you know it's top of the line news.
I went to Kent State Journalism School. I follow different rules.
I mean, she does have great taste in her news curation, though. So,
so apparently a judge ruled in Taylor Swift's favor in a lawsuit against her regarding copyright. But in like that seems like good news if you're Taylor Swift. But the judge, excuse me, the judge like dissed her so badly in the ruling. So I will read to you some of that as well.
Well, does that mean we get to find out like whether or not Taylor can dish it, but she can't take it? Because if there's like sick burns in that ruling.
Let's just say
she's
that
gonna write a song about it.
Oh, an album, a whole album.
Yeah, yeah.
It's called The Judge.
The Judgmental Tour.
And Katy Perry's gonna be like, "What about me? I thought you hated me."
Sorry, Katy.
All right, so we're doing all of that stuff. So I'm excited about that. Also, really quick here, just a quick nerd out since you're the resident nerd, Nick.
Ready?
This is like Black Panther Eve, right?
Yes, it is.
Should you even be here now?
I can barely even focus on work because I'm so excited for Black Panther.
Have you ever been as excited about a Marvel movie?
No. I can't even remember the last time I was excited about a movie this much. Like maybe The Dark Knight was the last time I was this excited about a movie. And then before that, I can't recall one. Toy Story 2 when I was a child.
I was doing some, like, I was reading some of this. I'm not into, like, the Marvel world as much as you are. I mean, I've seen a bunch of the movies now. Like, I'll eat popcorn and sit through a movie. And some of them I legitimately like. But
strong take.
If my girlfriend posts on Facebook about it, I'll read it.
I've seen movies, and some of them I enjoy.
But in other words, I don't know that I've ever anticipated one. I've never been like, oh, the new Avengers is coming out. I can't wait. It's more like, hey, do you want to go to a movie and eat some popcorn? Yeah, what's out? It's an Avengers movie. Sounds good to me.
I think you're probably more in line with the rest of America on that point. I am, like, just out of my chair excited about Black Panther.
But Black Panther specifically, right? And is it because the movie is supposed to be super, super good, or is it also kind of what it symbolizes or represents?
It's because it's an Afrofuturism coronation is why I'm excited for it. Like, Black Panther is going to, it's going to define the rest of this year, this film. Like, in the same way that we look back at certain years and you're like, yeah, that's the year that that movie came out. Like, 1979. Star Wars, like people know that. I think we're going to look at 2018 and say, like, that's the year that Black Panther changed everything.
Do you worry at all, though, that with such a buildup like everything you just said, it's actually not going to be that?
No, I'm not at all.
Because, like, Star Wars, there wasn't a bunch of fanfare about Star Wars. It took, you know, it was after it was out.
Yeah.
People like, this thing's great.
I think so. You're worried about hype being better than the actual movie. I'm not worried about that, mostly because of the creative team. The soundtrack is amazing, as curated and produced by Kendrick Lamar and Top Dog.
I haven't heard it yet. I can't believe it.
You haven't heard it yet?
I know everybody's been emailing me.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
All right, start with
Paramedic.
Have
you heard it yet?
I have. Of course, I have.
Yeah. What's your favorite track off there?
I don't know. I don't know.
I'm sorry to put you on the spot, by the way.
I don't know what any of them are. I've only had it like on in the background, but it's been like my background work music.
It's so good.
It is very good.
Also, Ryan Coogler, the director, has not made a bad movie yet. Chadwick Boseman the things that he said about the way that he's playing Black Panther have been just fantastic, right down to the specific accent that he chose and the thought that went into, okay, Wakanda, the country where Black Panther is from, is a fictional country, but it's also one that uniquely has never been conquered by outside forces. And what would that accent even sound like, kind of thing? And he kind of shaped his entire character around that core concept. Michael B. Jordan is the villain, which I'm excited for.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, my God.
Did you watch The Wire?
Yes.
Wallace.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Right, okay. Where's Wallace?
Yeah. Yeah.
He also played Creed in Creed.
Yes. And he's in Fruitvale Station.
And Fruitvale Station. Another Ryan Coogler
and
movie.
And he's incredibly fine. And also a great actor. Really? Yeah. But also super fine.
All of the
Can
above.
We not objectify people, please?
Between the female gaze is so permitted. We have so many years to make up for. I'm very pro-objectification of men.
Please stop looking at Nick's soft potato-like lips.
Well, once you mention a soft baked potato, I don't know what else I'm supposed to do.
But anyway, the entire creative team, everything about this movie, right down to the costume design, like every piece of this seems so labored over and... It looks like it was a labor of love. Like, it's going to be a good movie. It's going to be guaranteed to make $160 million this weekend, and it's already a success.
Are you going to go see it this weekend?
Yeah, I am.
Are you?
So I don't go to movies in the theater. I have, like, really, really ruthless, like I take medication for my ADHD, and it's because I literally cannot, I cannot sit for 2 hours without, like, having a panic attack. The last movie I saw in the theater, I went to go see Ghostbusters when they played it at Cinerama. The old one, when they did, like, a festival of, like, old film, and that was the last time I went to a movie.
Did you get real fidgety? Like, you feel claustrophobic?
Yeah,
or
I do, and I start to get really worried about, like, what's going on outside. So I don't really go see movies, but I will watch them in my house if I can also, like, get up and...
Well, the rest of today's show is going to be great for you.
Well, no, if I'm, like, talking, like, it's just sitting...
By the way, I realize I have three things on my desk right now that I always fidget with during the show, because usually there's nobody in here with me, right? Luke's up in Bellingham, and I'm just talking... You wouldn't know that, but if you'd been keeping up with the show, that's where Luke is.
I heard he was up in Bellingham.
He's gonna take that shot.
He's gonna. There's more to
go. No, I'm done with that. I've let it go. But
you
I will often sit in here and I'll mess around with this baseball. So I have three things, and there's three of us. So I'm willing to share. This is an American League West Mariners Champions 1995 baseball. If anybody wants to play with that, I got some silly putty, but I just got it this weekend, so it's still relatively clean.
Silly.
I know. I didn't realize until like playing with the silly putty, it's really kind of gross.
Oh yeah.
Is it gross?
Well, why is it flesh colored? Is the main question about silly putty?
That's the bigger concern. I mean, also eventually it does just become a ball of pet hair. Like let us all be quite clear. That's what the end goal
early
is.
On when I was dating Jen, I mean early on, first 6 months, I bought a thing of silly putty because I got this thing when I see silly putty in a store, I have to buy it. And this was during a time why, by the way, I have no idea why Genevieve is still with me. I was still wearing like pleated pants all the time.
Genevieve's like Dockers?
Wearing, yeah, just pleated pants, Dockers all the time, probably with boots.
What?
Yep. No, it was bad.
Wait, complete the picture. What's happening on top?
Oh, like flannel kind of shirts untucked all the time.
Wait, with Dockers? How does one bring this outfit together?
One just never cared. Well, the Dockers thing came from going to Catholic school. I didn't have a lot of jeans. I had to wear like khaki pants all the time. So I was just buying Dockers. And I didn't realize until later in life, a.k.a. after I met Genevieve, that pleats are not the way to go
to private
for
time
anybody,
as well.
Let alone somebody with my build. Anyway, to end this embarrassing story, I bought this silly putty and I was all excited. Like, hey, I have this silly putty. But then at one point I just put it in my pocket without putting it in its red egg first. Ugh. So now I'm the schlubby-dubby guy that I just described who's picking silly putty out of his pocket.
There's literally a Calvin and Hobbes comic strip about that.
17 years later, we're still together. So anyway, if anybody gets fidgety, I get fidgety. Oh, I got a fidget spinner too. That's from our friends in Boise when we visited them. So feel free.
I might take the spinner.
Let's see here. Oh, it's getting so near break time. I don't know. Do you guys want to... I think this is a stupid idea. Because you guys are both Seattle people, I thought, maybe I'll find a... Oh, I forgot about question of the day. That was a segment I started. Luke was out for 2 weeks, and I started doing Question of the Day. Another favorite with listeners. I thought I would quiz you guys on some Seattle trivia, since you're both big Seattle people.
Oh,
but I couldn't find any good quizzes, so I found two really bad quizzes.
Oh, still even in. Better. Yeah. More in now, actually.
I love trivia.
All right. Yes. But the thing... Okay, they're really bad.
Okay.
Okay, so we're going to take a really quick break right now, and then when we come back, I will quiz these guys on some Seattle knowledge, and then we'll talk about some of these stories. We'll go to the Olympics. We will we'll do all those other cool things I told you about. So let's take a quick break. We'll be back in 1 second. Sorry, I'm blubbering all over the place, by the way. I'm getting over a little bit of a cold, or maybe I'm just getting into this cold. I can't tell if it's at the beginning or end.
I'm sorry, I just sniffed on mic. I thought my mic was off.
I actually was giving you cover for that, because I was sniffing right before the break.
Sorry.
And then I was like, no, they'll just all think
that's
it's me.
That's a true homie. Yeah, no, that is like, that's friendship.
We've worked together a lot. Yes. All right, you guys want to try one of these quizzes?
Yeah, give me
all
right. Terrible Seattle.
So here are the two that I found, and this is going to sound like I'm making some sort of a sexist joke, and I am not, but these are both from some website that is just women.com.
That doesn't sound real.
My guess is somebody realized, hey, that's a good URL to have. Let's buy that. And then they've just seemed like, I haven't dug deep into women.com, but it looks like it's a bunch of kind of clickbaity kind of crap that they just fill out. Because
I would
bet
$1 million that it's a site edited by a man.
Can I read you the top story on women.com?
Yeah, please.
Okay. Headline, Kellyanne Conway thinks Hope Hicks is too strong and capable to be abused.
Stop.
What does
this
even mean? Women.com.
Hold up. I need to, I got to pull up women.com. I have questions.
Okay. So I'm going to give you guys a choice. Do we want to do a, and keep in mind, these are both bad. How many Seattle words do you actually know? It's supposed to be a Seattle slang quiz.
Oh, no.
Or one of those more personality ones where I ask you guys some questions and it'll tell you whether or not you're a real Seattleite. Spoiler, I've taken it 3 times and every single time has told me I'm 100% a Seattleite no matter what answers I put down. Yes.
Well, then let's do the first one.
Let's do the first one. How many Seattle words do you guys actually know?
I can already guess like 5 of them that are going to be on this.
Oh, let's do it because I'll bet you I know one. Yep.
Tolo.
Yep.
Pre-funk often is on there.
Why is that a Seattle thing?
So the rumor I've always heard is that it originated from Seattle University because it's a Jesuit school and they weren't allowed to like have parties in their dorms or whatever. So they would have functions. They would refer to functions. So pre-function.
No shit.
That's what I've heard. That's fully through the grapevine.
Wow. I took a bunch of these and that did keep coming up as a Seattle word. I had no idea.
Always. Let's see. What else do they
always? I know you know the big one.
I mean,
this is more fun than the quiz.
There's always
guessing what's on the test.
There's always going to be something about is the mountain out? If it's like a phrase, if the mountain is out, that's one. You never say the 5, it's I-5. That's usually one that comes up because the 5 is for Californians.
That's how you can tell Californians.
Yeah.
That's a little confusing when I went down and came back up. That stuck with me a little bit. Uh-huh. Then I felt like a real D-bag every time I said it. Like, oh yeah, just hop on the 5. Because then it sounds like you're trying to be Mr. LA in Seattle, which I was not.
And also you'll be confused with the 5 bus.
True.
That's a good point.
Pike Place with no S on the end is usually one. What are the other ones that they always have? I know that
there's a big one.
There's a big one that I can't remember.
A festival is named after it.
Bumbershoot?
Oh. You guys already just won the quiz.
I always know what these are. These are always the same. Okay, what is it? Okay,
I'm not even going to do it. Like, we'll just zip through this really quickly because you literally, I think, got them all.
All right, great.
Well, I guess there's 10, so maybe not quite. What does the mountain is out mean?
It's clear.
It's sunny. Yep. Okay. What is a rack of beer?
Oh, so there's a rack, a half rack, and then like a sixer. So a rack is usually what? 18? 12?
24 pack.
What?
It's a case. A case is a rack.
I guess that's fair.
But I don't think that that's a Seattle thing. I always called it a rack of beer, a case
of
beer.
Yeah, I think every, yeah.
I call it a box.
Well, and if it's 12, if it's 12 packets, a half rack.
A half rack, yeah.
JoJo's, you mentioned that, right?
No, I didn't, but JoJo's are potato wedges.
You mentioned Tolo, right? Tolo. Right, okay.
JoJo's are potato wedges, and my partner's from Boston, and he never believes me when that's what I call them.
I had never heard JoJo's.
It's one of my favorite preparations of potato.
Well, they're potato wedges everywhere else. That's the thing. They're potato wedges.
But they're like a little crispy on the outside. They're
fried.
They're not always fried like that.
But they're JoJo's, yes. Right. Potato wedges.
Yeah, I'd never heard of that, actually, maybe even before this quiz. What does it mean when it's spitting?
Raining, I guess.
Raining
that isn't heavy enough to be sprinkling. What does it mean to pre-funk?
Pre-function. Before a party, yeah.
Drink before a function or party.
Yep.
What is a hard A? A difficult test, hard alcohol.
It's liquor.
Yeah. Or hard an A+. Plus. Okay, I actually didn't know that one. Okay. What does it mean if you're a drip? Oh, no, I'm sorry. That means you're me. Wait, what does it mean if you order a drip?
Oh, plain black coffee. Coffee. Yeah.
It's low bar for this quiz.
Good God.
What does it mean if you say ping me?
You're an asshole. You're awful.
I'm so glad you made it today.
it's hit me up. It's text me, whatever. Yeah, message me in any way.
That's not a Seattle thing. That's just a business.
It's a tech thing.
Yeah, I guess it's a tech thing. It's get in touch with me or contact me.
Yeah.
All right, we're on 9 of 10 here. What is a Tolo?
Sadie Hawkins dance.
Yes, I learned that today, actually. Yes. And 10 of 10, what is a bumbershoot?
Umbrella.
Or, this actually says, a music festival named after an umbrella. Congratulations,
A+
the more common use, so I would accept that one as the better answer.
Yeah, right?
If you were doing like multiple choice to like the best answer,
yeah,
it's the music festival one.
Okay. Yeah, I think so. If you had ranked choice voting.
Yeah.
I mean, I grew up in Oregon and it's a lot of the same stuff. I think a lot of it's Pacific Northwest and not Seattle specific.
That's why I almost was going to do this other quiz, like how much of a Seattleite are you? Because I saw you tweeted yesterday something about it. Was it your anniversary moving up here or something? You just tweeted something about you'll always like Portland more?
No, it's Oregon. Right? It's Oregon's birthday is Valentine's Day. So Oregon's incorporation date is February 14th. So every year on Valentine's Day, I celebrate my home state, which is Oregon.
And Seattle or Washington will never take the place?
They just can't.
Heart?
It's always, you know, your first love is always true.
Right. Well, you guys, will you at
That's
least...
generous. I think Hannah pretty much won that one.
Yeah, no, that well, you guys together, you won it together.
That's true. I'm on the team.
Right.
I'll accept the win.
It's one of these things. This kind of like crappy clickbait content, like one, like as a writer, is the kind of shit that people want you to do all the time. And you're just like, oh my God, no. The answers are always the same. And then two, like as a person working in like Seattle specific media, that kind of stuff is always gravy.
Yeah. What would you, if somebody had, because like you don't want to turn down work, right? You're a freelancer.
I turn down a lot of work, but yes, but I would prefer not to.
Let's just say somebody was going to back a truckload of money up to your front door to put together a 10-question quiz like that.
Yeah.
What would yours be like? That's putting you on the spot.
No, but that's a good one.
Like something Seattle related.
Something about how Seattleites can't seem to figure out escalators. Like they stagger.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever tried to walk up an escalator like in a hurry and you cannot?
It is. Okay. I don't want to get into some sort of like hot talk radio rant here. But it is exactly the same. It's the same problem with the fast lane here. I mean, that is one thing about the Pacific Northwest.
Yes.
I'm from Ohio and then I did a lot of driving in Boston as well. Like, and when you're kind of used to Boston driving and you move to Seattle, it's just lucky that I don't have a murder rap right now. It is crazy. You get and the same thing with escalators and any moving people thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like people just stand in the way.
So back in the day, so I went to school in Bellingham, where Luke now lives, I've heard.
you don't even know Luke.
Never heard of him. But I remember there was a time when Craigslist rants and raves were like sort of like a community message board in Bellingham.
I love that stuff.
Oh my God. And there was an ongoing thread about the passing lane and how people do use it or don't use it. And the overwhelming sentiment from Bellingham drivers was that it's just another lane of traffic. And if people want to speed, they should do it away from me because it's unsafe.
Yes.
What?
That is always the argument. Like there's a law. There's a law to, you know, like how fast you can go. There's a speed limit.
There's also a law. Keep right, except to pass.
Right. It's a law.
Yeah.
It's a law, people.
Yeah, you can get cited for impeding, for not going fast enough, and for crowding the passing lane.
I'm really glad we were able to just get that off our chest, because our listeners have never heard me complain about this stuff before.
Do you want to talk about dreams now? Or?
Just a second. See, when Luke's out, I play different music to thank our donors of the day. Isn't this so much better? Do you even
know that? A lot.
Yes, the Shirelles. But we do seriously want to thank you, baby. We want to thank the people who support TBTL at the annual TBTL-a-thon. Luke and I just had some more meetings this week about what we're planning for this upcoming TBTL-a-thon, and I'm hoping it's going to be a doozy. And those TBTL-a-thons are important because they are how we're able to do this show every single day. And today's donors, Gether Kenyon of Chicago, Illinois, PJ Lynn of Rome, Georgia. By the way, I'm getting excited right now because this is a very good distribution. These aren't all, like, you know, Northwestern people. Mm-hmm. These aren't people all just stuck in the Midwest. Boy, what a rude thing to say about the Midwest. I'm from the Midwest. I'm just having trouble with words
today. Small sample
size
because I feel like I hear you do this spiel about the spread on the map.
Oh, yeah, I do.
Every time I'm here.
Yes, sorry. Okay, then I'll just move on. And also, though, I don't know why I said stuck in the Midwest. Maybe I was thinking snowstorms. I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. I love you guys.
There
anyway.
Are two polar vortexes now. So. Vortices?
Dave Austin, not from Austin, Texas. Oddly enough, from
Snohomish, Washington. Do you think he's ever been to Austin, Texas?
I don't know, Dave. Could
you
get
at us?
From Eugene,
Oregon?
Were you born in Austin? Were you named after Austin, Texas? Have you considered moving to Austin, Texas?
You consider Let changing us know. Your name.
Would you consider changing your name to Snohomish?
It's very confusing for
we
some
would like
parties.
To thank Dave Snohomish from Austin, Texas, for supporting the show today, and Peggy Brock of Mills River, North Carolina. Gether, PJ, Dave, Peggy, this show is yours. Thank you so much. North Club is like falling. All right, you guys want to talk about these top stories, starting with this this Olympic intrigue. So we already set up at the beginning of the show that this is supposed to be a special year for the Jamaican women's bobsled team, the first one of ever. If you're stuck in the Midwest, that's how you say that sentence. And the coach quit, but it's a contested story. She quit because she says that they were trying to force her into a different role at the last minute, and they weren't respecting her, and they basically pushed her out. The team, I can't remember what you call the people who kind of represent the team, they say that is not actually the full story. Here's what she posts on her Facebook page. After some distorted facts have appeared in the media concerning my departure as coach of the Jamaican ladies bobsleigh team, they call it sleigh.
Wait, in is Jamaica they call it that? Or
I think
in-
so, yeah. In all the references I've seen, B-O-B-S-L-E-I-G-H.
Is America the only one who says bobsled?
Don't know.
Would not surprise me if we were.
Probably. We like to go sledding. I say sled riding, by the way.
As opposed to sledding?
Yeah. Another thing that I didn't realize until people pointed out to me, I just always thought it was sled riding.
I don't have a hard and fast on that because I grew up somewhere where we never had snow and we never sledded, so.
Yeah.
I say sled.
Let's see here. So she wants to put some things straight. Her name is Kersasis. Her name is Sandra. Nope. Her name is Sandra Kyriasis. We'll go with that. Without giving any reasons, I was told out of the blue that with immediate effect, I should work only as a track and performance analyst, as opposed to the coach that she was. I'd have to leave the Olympic Village. I would lose my accreditation as part of the Jamaican team, and I was not supposed to have any more contact with the athletes, etc. And then she added that she is not abandoning the team, but has chosen not to continue due to unacceptable conditions offered to me by the Federation. That's the word I was looking for before, without any explanation, and which would have forced me to sacrifice my reputation and my professionalism. By the way, she won a gold medal as a bobsledder.
Bobsleddist.
Bob Slayer. That's a good band, by the way. I saw Bob Slayer back in like the mid-80s, like peak Bob Slayer. I think she won in 2006 for maybe the German team. The Federation says that that is not the true story. But either way, she claims that this is her sled, her bobsled, that she was able to get it for the team. And the team is saying, nuh-uh. But she's saying, I'm leaving and I'm taking my sled with me. Which is kind of shitty, I guess, to the
Yeah, terrible team. To the yeah. team. But I also have a question. Seems very sudden, like a very sudden turn to go from like coaching to analyst, and they're like, you're banned from the village.
Yes.
Yeah, like that just seems very sudden to me. I'm curious about what has occurred. What right. else has occurred?
And during the games as well. Seems like a strange yeah. time to do that.
Right?
Yeah.
Like yes. maybe something. So, wow, we've really turned on Sandra.
I mean,
I think the main thrust of the story so far has been like, oh, poor Sandra. But now we're like, what did you do, Sandra?
Well, that and her taking the bobsleigh away is particularly.
Yeah, man, let him do this. Like,
yeah, I don't.
If you're not
with
abandoning
that.
The team, let him use the.
Is the team going to be able to compete?
Good question. That's what they're trying to figure out right now. Now, some people
just like
are,
use somebody else's, right? There's supposed to be regulation or whatever. I don't
well,
know.
Well, I don't know because I went to a website called women. No, I went to a website called. How
women
much
they be bobsledding.com.
Can you write that down as a show title? Do you
sure.
have
anything? I read it down. Thank you.
I went to a website called howmuchisit.org.
Oh, to see how much.
Sure. Yes. What, but like, honestly, like I, again, not to criticize every media organization out here, but how much is it seems like such a clunky way of putting it. Like, how much does it cost or what's it cost or something? How much is it dot.
I bet they did research on like Google searches and people start with how much is it to
yes,
whatever.
You're probably
and
right.
so I bet I would venture to guess that's where that came
all
from.
All for the SEO.
And if I'm criticizing media organizations, I'll criticize myself for saying .com when it's actually .org. Anyway.
Wait.
How much
it's
is
a nonprofit?
It .org? I don't know. I think people, I mean, how much is .org actually?
I don't think you're
actually
allowed to use .org if you're not like really. Maybe not. I don't know.
Well,
don't
I'm
know.
Just saying I'm not looking up the bylaws here. Let's just go to howmuchisit.org. You guys won. When I say you guys, I mean howmuchisit.org won. Howmuchisit.org.
Is it run by like the Better Business Bureau or something?
About Us. It's proudly affiliated with the T2 Web Network LLC. So it seems like a real nonprofit so far. I think that people just get around it, or I don't think it's well policed.
I think that's the bigger issue. Yeah. I don't think anyone's coming after their books and being like, I mean, it's not like maybe .orgs are less expensive, I guess. But.
Yeah, Wikipedia says anyone can get a .org now.
Interesting.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
I don't know why.
Now I'm literally just, I'm not even talking. I'm just quietly reading the how much is like .org yes. about
wait,
us page.
So how much is the bobsled? How much is it?
.org. They didn't say. No, just kidding. I just thought it was an interesting website. I want to tell you guys about. It says an Olympic-sized bobsled can cost at least $30,000, but this price can be higher as the design becomes more complex. In fact, it was reported that the U.S. Olympic team's bobsleds during the 2010 Olympic Games were priced around $50,000, but the prices can go even higher than that depending on structure and material of the sled. So here's the deal. Some organizations, namely the only one I saw so far, Red Stripe Beer, tweeted out today, we'll buy you a bobsled. Like, yeah. That's great publicity
nice.
For them.
Smart.
I'm sure other people will probably step up to make similar offers. But, and I don't have an answer to this one, but do you think that a team that has been practicing for probably a solid year, if not more, for this very, very specific high-pressure event called the Olympics can just get in another bobsled and perform up to the same standards?
I mean, this would be my question. Also, I wonder how quickly you can get one made and shipped to Korea.
Right.
That also seems like a logistical difficulty to me.
Because they need it soon.
Like ASAP.
Yeah.
Yes.
I would say, though, if Red Stripe is making it, they should definitely make it look like a stubby bottle.
Yes.
Just for
yes.
like marketing, you know,
yes,
branding.
Yes, absolutely. What is the sign? Sorry, everybody who doesn't live in Seattle.
Hooray beer.
That's Red Stripe. Yeah. That was Red Stripe.
Yes, the old commercials. But mm-hmm. isn't there a sign? Is it on Aurora or is it in Fremont with it's like a it's a big stubby
Rachel's Ginger Beer one?
No, it's by the Uber Bar pub on Aurora.
Yes. And every time I see that, I want a Red Stripe.
Yes.
It's a big...
It's up by Beth's.
Light up sign there. Yes. Anyway, that was really interesting to the people who are stuck in the Midwest.
Super interesting.
I did want to say that they're supposed to start training on Saturday, and their first heats are supposed to be on Tuesday and Wednesday. So, yeah, this is like really, really last minute. So, bummer for them.
Hope.
But I have a feeling we will hear more about maybe the circumstances of... this personnel
can make a
situation.
Prediction.
Yes.
They're going to get the bobsled back and they'll be fine because it's going to be really hard to compete in a sport where you can lose by hundredths of seconds mm-hmm. in a completely new piece of equipment.
Yeah.
It's going to be really hard to do.
Right. Can you imagine even like if you had to switch out your ice skates, if you're an ice skater or anything like that?
No.
Also, how's that woman going to get the bobsled home?
Yeah.
Also, by the way, like you're going back through customs like, no, it's mine. I swear.
Yeah. Okay, great. But what are you going to do with
it? Like, what is it?
I'm just going to picture her in her hotel room in Pyeongchang, just like sitting in it, with her arms crossed angrily watching the heats on television.
Drinking a Red Stripe. Like,
drinking a Budweiser. Oh, wait, no, she's German. Maybe drinking a
Anything from Anheuser-Busch then at that point.
Right. Let's talk about this Rocky phone number thing. I thought this was interesting. Out of the Washington Post, I'm going to read here. It says one of the most expensive luxury items you can buy in Iraq is a cool phone number. They're called distinguished phone numbers. They're considered prestigious because they have a distinctive or beautiful series of digits. For instance, a string of sevens or zeros or a repeating pattern of numerals. They're sold via SIM cards, and then they can go up for tens of thousands of dollars to get a cool phone number. I know, kind of sounds like bullshit,
tens
but it's the Post. It's the Post, and it was a long article. I kind of summarized this here. So it started as a black market thing about a decade ago after Saddam fell, and then people were getting more and more cell phones, and it kind of started to be a little bit of a kind of a class thing. But now, like, cell companies are on it, and they offer tiered SIM cards. If you just go to buy a cell phone, they'll offer a tier. And, like, you know, the just cheap one is $3, no big deal. But then you get a silver level card. That's a combination of consecutive pairs like 4, 4, 5, 5. That's going to go about $30. That's not too bad. I'd definitely pay $30 for a phone number that I liked.
How many people are dialing phone numbers really ever?
Yeah.
Hey, that's a good point. That's a good point. How did I do this whole thing and I didn't even think about that? And how did this article know? It was a long, in-depth article.
I mean, maybe it's different in Iraq. It's entirely possible that, like, culturally they're still picking up the actual phone and dialing numbers. But I just can't think of – I mean, the only time I ever dial the numbers on my phone is when I'm, like, calling into a conference call.
Literally the only two phone numbers I know are mine and Genevieve's. I couldn't call my parents, and they've had the same phone for 25 years now.
Yeah, none of us thought to think of that when my parents moved out of their house, like, that their phone number – it just like we were like, oh, right. Their house phone number.
Yeah. Is that the one you grew up with, too?
It was, but that's my sister moved into that house. And so then we were it's Emma's phone number now.
Oh, yeah. That's so
but
great.
Like none of us thought, like we didn't.
Did she move in for the phone number? You guys are like, we can't sacrifice the phone number?
I mean, once you have it memorized, you can't let that go. And it's got a very pleasing series of numbers in it.
Do you know what an Iraqi would pay for this phone number?
This is a high quality. But so I wonder if this is more of a cultural statement, though, that people still care about phone numbers.
Yeah, maybe. It says you can get a Diamond Plus card. Again, this is kind of still like just on the, you know, the phone companies are offering this. You can get last five digits are all the same. So 77777.
Wow.
That'll set you back about $1,500. But then you can still get these things called presidential numbers on the black market. Again, I'm going to read this direct quote here. It's actually kind of long. Give me a moment. At the stop interrupting me, please, you guys.
Keep it down, Jaren.
Get off my back, for Christ's sake. At the King of Distinguished Numbers in Baghdad, customers can browse the boards and books of numbers or request a specific number from the telecom company. Quote, these numbers are a language, said Haider Mohammed, a 45-year-old cell phone dealer who specializes in distinguished phone numbers. His shop, World of Distinction... Yeah, right? Not bad.
Sounds distinguished.
Way to go, Haider. Located at a shopping strip in central Baghdad, advertises special permutations available for sale on long sheets of paper. Quote, a man makes calculations for what will make him successful in life or in business, he said. Among them is what his phone number says about him. It says he has taste. It also says he's loaded, he said, breaking out into laughter. It gives him optimism. It gives him prestige. Muhammad said that he once traded a particularly beautiful number to a businessman. I can't get over that they keep calling him beautiful.
Beautiful numbers.
Once traded a particularly beautiful number to a businessman for a $60,000 Lexus, a claim that was later confirmed by Muhammad's top rival in the prestige number business. I love that this
guy
wants
to write a book. He has a way with words. He's a great salesman. I want to hear every single story about this.
Is there a turf war for like phone number dealers?
This is so great.
Oh, man. Anyway.
The House of Distinction versus whatever the other guys are.
Yeah. The King of Distinguished Numbers.
Yeah.
Wasn't that a Sting song? I swore the Police or something. Anyway, I got to say, Genevieve's phone number is, no, I won't tell you what it is, but...
is it beautiful?
It is beautiful. Like, Genevieve loves anagrams. I think I got that right. You know, like words that are the same backwards
palindromes.
And palindromes. No, sorry, palindromes.
Yes.
Yeah. And she has two palindromes in her phone number.
What? Oh. That's,
yes.
That's a beautiful number.
You know, I did have a friend whose name was a four-letter name, and her phone number was that, like, when you dialed it.
Did she try to get it?
I have never actually answered that question, but it was great because that was the only other phone number I would ever remember. Was it because I was like, oh, like as long as you had the area code and you knew the first three.
Are you a 206?
No, I'm not.
That sucks. Are you a 206?
Nope.
Me neither. I'm a New Hampshire number.
Oh my gosh, these New Hampshire?
New Hampshire? Hey, you. Oh, from back in the day when you used to listen. Oh, you're right. I do still have a few more in me.
I knew it. I'm over here trying to hang, and he's hanging me out to dry.
All right. Should I tell you guys about this Taylor Swift story or not?
Please.
Oh, sure.
All right. By the way, 206, for people who don't live in Seattle, that's that's the traditional Seattle number, but now the market is just so flooded with people. What are the other exchanges around here now?
Well, so if you ever want to see something really funny, you can go on YouTube and find Almost Live sets. So Almost Live was like this sketch comedy show that was on in Seattle for years. It's how Bill Nye got his start, and also Joel McHale. And there is an episode about when they rolled out 425, which is the like sort of east side of Washington area.
425, yeah.
And it was in like the 90s. And so when they rolled out 425, people were freaking out, and they were like, I don't know how to call anybody. And it was like a huge thing. And so there's like an Almost Live sketch about 425. And I always just recommend that people watch Almost Live in general, because there's some very classic bits.
I might have. Yeah, this is Pat Cashman. This is it.
Yeah.
Local phone company.
I think this might be.
Hi, I'm Dan Novak. As you know, 6 months ago, we divided the old 206 area code into the 206, 253, and 425 area codes.
Yeah.
Well, in just a few moments, at midnight tonight, in fact, our grace period ends, and it will be mandatory to use the new codes when dialing. But the good news is that it's actually very simple. When calling another area, just dial that code before the number. If it wasn't long distance before, it won't be now. So there's no need to dial a one first. It's as easy as that. Now let's see if our studio audience has any questions. Yes?
Yeah, do you have to dial a one first when calling the 425 area code? Yeah.
Good question. I should have made that more clear. The answer is, if you didn't have to dial a one before, you don't have to now. Yes?
Oh, he asked the same question I was going to ask.
Oh, good. Good. Then I guess we already cleared that up for you.
Yeah. So I should dial a one then?
Okay, I think we got it. It goes on for about 6 minutes, so that's the first minute of it. Cleveland was 216, and then they brought in the 440, the 330, and then it's just...
There's also a Simpsons episode about this.
Really?
This must have just hit pretty much everybody in the 90s.
In the 90s.
Yeah, I think so, because I guess like cell phones started to proliferate too, and... I mean, I guess I can imagine a world of luxury phone numbers if I think about like how like Manhattan, like Upper Manhattan area code, like 212 used to be very like very prized, as opposed to like 718 or whatever was the Brooklyn number.
Yeah, and what was the LA one? I can't remember what the LA one was as well.
That was like the fancy one. Yeah, it was like it was like almost
or like the old
like,
school.
It was like old money. So I guess I could see it, but the idea of phone numbers as luxury items does seem very bygone to me. As a person who literally never thinks about phone numbers.
I would, there is very little that I would do. I would not give up my phone number is what I'm going to say. I've had the same New Hampshire phone number since I got my very first cell phone. And I was a late adapter to that, by the way. So whenever that was in the 2000s. The only thing is I might give it up for a 206.
I had two phone numbers for a while because I had a 206 that was a Google Voice number.
Yeah.
So that I could have.
You can't get that anymore.
I know. But for a long time, I had two phone numbers so that I could have a 206 and not give up my... I have an Oregon phone number that is the same thing. I got my first cell phone when I graduated from high school.
Right.
And I was like, everybody has this number. Who needs it?
Yeah. So. All right. Let's talk about Taylor Swift here for a second. Yeah, that's about it.
That's her new song.
Ooh, that sounds great. Yeah, cool.
I'm just trying to go back. What did I already tell you guys at the top of the
judge.
Show? So somebody was suing her. Let's see here. Some songwriters, Sean Hall and Nathan Butler, alleged that Swift stole her chorus for the hit of her song, Shake It Off, from their song that they wrote for a girl band called 3LW.
Mm.
That's not a beautiful number.
Wait. 3LW, were they a girl group in like 2002? Are they like they're like an old, like.
Yeah, like 02 around there.
Yeah.
Wait,
like I have a memory of them maybe on like, TRL.
Players, they gonna play that song.
Let's find out.
This is called, the first thing that pops up is No More, Baby, I'ma Do Right.
Yes!
This is from 2009?
Nine?
That's the one it was posted to YouTube.
That's not what it's from,
though. Oh, it was way earlier.
Yeah, 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 yeah. There's no way.
You guys listen to this. I'm going to go grab another box of tissues.
I'm getting a little tired of your broken promises. Oh, my God, I remember this song. You just seeing different numbers and numbers. Call you when you're sluggy, hanging with the fellas, hanging with my girls, you always getting jealous and jealous. 2000, call it. Have no dollars, no dollars. Hanging at the crib, chilling with your mama, never funded you, never brought the drama, the drama. How is it? What'd I miss?
I was 100%
sweet, sweet
right.
Jams.
2000. And they have a song called Play Is Gon' Play. So I bet
okay,
that's
gotcha.
The one.
Yeah, I think that's their hit that I
yes.
know.
Yes. Oh, that is that. So Play Is Gon' Play, that's a hit? I didn't realize that. So that's, I think, the part of this lawsuit. Yeah. Play
I
is
think
gonna...
that might have been on like a Now That's What I Call Music compilation.
Yeah, that's really likely. Yeah.
Speaking of the year 2000.
You're absolutely right. It is Play Is Gonna Play. It's they wrote that song for 3LW and they sued. The song asserts that Play Is Gonna Play and Haters Gonna Hate, while Shake It Off insists, by the way, this is Jezebel, as you might guess, while Shake It Off insists that, quote, the player's gonna play, and the haters gonna hate. You can see the similarities for yourself. Judge Michael W. Fitzgerald ultimately ruled against Hall and Butler, but his statement on the matter burns everyone involved hard. Here's the quote from his ruling. In the early 2000s, popular culture was adequately suffused with the concepts of players and haters to render the phrases play is gonna play or hate is gonna hate standing on their own, no more creative than runner's gonna run, drummer's gonna drum, or swimmer's gonna swim.
Swimmer's gonna swim.
Or bobslayer's gonna bobsleigh. The concept of actors acting in accordance with their essential nature is not at all creative. It's banal. The alleged infringed lyrics are short phrases that lack a modicum of originality and creativity required for copyright protection. So,
dang,
that is like,
wait, so
Taylor Swift
won?
Was probably like, wait a second. No,
I
sue me again. Let's do it.
Cannot wait
this
for Tay's new album to drop. Man. I cannot wait for Taylor Swift to get her sweet, sweet
God.
Judgmental revenge.
God, I think I already
There's
said
gonna
this
be a track called
show.
Banal. I can't wait.
What was that last song she did with that was so controversial when it came out? She credits Right Said Fred on it. It's her last single.
Look What You Made Me Do.
Yes. When that first came out, I spent the morning, like, you know, as you do, you wake up and you open up Twitter and you just see, like, oh, the world has changed. Yes. Taylor Swift has released this thing and everybody's got a hot take. And you're just like, oh, my God,
Twitter.
This is going to be the worst song in the world. It's going to be the worst song in the world. And I purposely did not listen to it until TBTL that day. And then Luke played it for me. I'm like, that's not that bad. That's fine. Like, that's catchy. And now I wish I could burn that episode of TBTL because I just caught that thing in the wild. Like, after that, I forgot about it. Never heard it again. Yeah. Months later, I heard that song in the wild. It is so
it's
goddamn bad.
It's a very bad song.
It sounds like a
really
bad Meghan Trainor song is
what
it sounds
like.
Yeah,
it's very bad. I was in the car with my boyfriend the week it came out, and for some reason, that's what we were talking about. And he was like, and isn't it like, it's like with like Right Said Fred? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, what's it called? And I was like, Look What You Made Me Do. And he goes, oh, does it go like, look what you made me
without
do. And I was like, yeah, without hearing it. Because he was like, because he knew the source material. And I was like, that's, you literally exactly nailed it. You didn't need any. So to the judge's credit, without a modicum of originality, and in fact, banal, most of Taylor's songs are. And then it came on in the radio later. And my boyfriend was like, oh yeah, I 100% knew exactly what was, I could accurately call it.
Oh,
because,
that's great.
Yeah, because it's, that's what she... That's what you make her do.
That's what,
that's what we all make her do.
I just realized I made a horrible mistake.
Why?
When getting into top stories, this is like the only time in TBTL that we didn't play the top story sounder. I totally just forgot about
Should
it.
Should we
oh
do
my
more
God,
top
you're
stories?
Fired. He's never going to let you host the show again.
I know. Next time it's going to be you and Nick.
Hello and welcome to Top Story.
Anyway, that was Top Stories, everybody.
That was great.
All right, I know you know about TBTL, the podcast. You're listening to it right now. But have you tried TBTL, the newsletter? Because you can. Just go over to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. I gotta say, it's a lot of fun. Every week, Luke and I record a little video that we include in the newsletter. It's called Hey Dummies. We answer your questions, any questions you want to ask us. Well, there's all kinds of things in the newsletter. Don't take my word for it. Here, this is Mary. She's a big fan of the newsletter.
It has a nice welcome introduction, but then you have these phenomenal GIFs that are so much fun. You talk about amazing, wonderful people, and you introduce us to new things, and then the songs of the week. Oh my gosh. And it just makes me so happy.
You can make you happy too. I mean, listen, this is coming from Mary. She doesn't even listen to the podcast. She's here just for the newsletter. No joke. So again, go to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. And we'll try to bring a little extra sunshine to your inbox every Friday afternoon.
Here I go once again with the email. Every week, I hope that it's from a female. Oh man, it's not from a female.
We added some Doogie music from the old days. You might notice a little difference.
Well, I was
Doogie there.
I was expecting the email frenzy.
Oh,
music.
Yeah. No, it's not a frenzy.
It's not a frenzy?
By the way, did you hear that frenzy we did the other day? We got to two emails. That was a real frenzy. Email frenzy is when we're supposed to just like whip through tons of emails that have been building up.
It took so long to even get to the email.
That was not our best show. That was one of those shows that we recorded two in a day, I think. Sit down, guys. You're going to be surprised.
I'm ready.
I did something embarrassing on the show yesterday. Actually, something really embarrassing. I was telling Nick about this before the show. I don't have time to get into the whole ins and outs of this, but suffice it to say, when you make a mistake in a podcast that you're posting to American public media and then you need to edit it after the show has been posted.
Oh, yeah, it's just like,
it's really hard.
Yeah, sure.
Did you listen to yesterday's show by any chance?
I did not, yeah.
Good. Don't worry about it. And I'm sure some listeners who are listening right now heard this version and I am mortified. You know, like TBTL, there's not a lot of artifice, right? Like, I let you guys in on what's going on at all times, even if it involves me leaving the room to get a box of tissues, which ended up being a roll.
The edges are what makes it beautiful, right. Yeah. Like
however,
Rocky phone numbers.
We're still very cognizant right now that we're talking into microphones, right?
Sure.
This is not that much different than our conversations before we started recording, but still, you know that you're recording a podcast right now. And yesterday when I was doing the show with Bean Baxter, who is in Louisiana, so he's not here in the room with me, we had some ISDN issues coming down the line about 15 minutes into the show. And there's a moment where I'm starting to say something to him. I mean, it's funny that this is embarrassing, yet here I am just like telling everybody exactly what happened. But there's a moment where I'm talking to him. We're about to go to break. And then he's like, you're breaking up. You're breaking up. You're breaking up. And I'm like, oh, okay. Sorry. How about now? Can you hear me? And we just do this whole like minute and a half thing. It's actually a minute and 16 seconds. I know exactly how damn long it was. And then Bean is kind of like, okay, well, it's better now. I'm like, yeah, that doesn't usually happen. We're bullshitting about how the ISDN works. And then And then Bean's like, well, you're going to take a break here in a second, right? I'm like, yeah, I'm going to take a break. Okay, I'm going to pick it up. And then, like, this is all non-TBTL stuff, right? Like doing a pickup. And this was out there for, like, 3 or 4 hours.
Like
and
a
then,
real peek behind the curtain.
Yes. And it's one of those things where it's not like, hey, we're having technical issues and we're bringing the listeners along on it. It is just like, and I was telling Nick, not to draw this out too much, but when we're done with the show, I got everything done. I took a long walk, picked up those new headphones you're wearing. You're welcome.
They're very fancy.
And then I came home and I was a little sweaty from the walk. So I'm like, I'm going to take a shower. And I was just like, what a great, like, I was done with my day. Everything was feeling good. And then I'm just going through my day and I'm just
and
remembering.
And you realize that you didn't cut it?
And I am going from this moment of, and you work in radio, or you've worked in radio. You know, you guys both know
this.
This
is a literal stress dream I've had. It's the same as like publishing a story and then being like, oh no, like I forgot to correct something.
It's the details in there.
Yeah.
Like when I used to produce like shows that I wasn't on, but you were still the producer. You're like, oh no, did I leave in the part where the ISDN drops or something like that? So I went from being like the most relaxed I could possibly be, just thinking about how great my day was.
Were you in the shower?
Yeah, I was in the shower. And then I mean, you guys know that feeling. Suddenly was like, and you know what I heard? It was almost like a Simpsons with Marge Simpson's voice like echoing in my head, only it was Bean. I remember him saying at the end of the show, after we had wrapped up, he had said, and don't forget to make those edits. And I was like, oh, yeah, I got them written down because there were two times we had technical issues. And I did have them written down, but somehow in my fluster, I didn't fix the one. And all of a sudden, I have that realization. And it is just like, that is where I realize, like, we are still animals. Like, my body did something
like you
physically.
Run cold. Your gut drops out.
I was like,
out.
I don't know if I'm going to fight or I'm going to flight. How do you fight a podcast? I don't know. And so I just, like, rush. I mean, I just, like, turn off the water. I just rush
in here. Do you still have, like, soap on your head? And
no,
like,
luckily no soap. But I would have been, like, I wasted no time. And then so I find the tape that I uploaded to the server, and sure as shit, it's still in there. And I can't even at this moment listen to what's in there. I just find the edit points. I find the beginning and the end. I clip them out. I save it in another file because I think I'm going to have to listen to what I put out in the world later.
Yeah.
Like, and I was trying to explain this to Nick. Like, I don't say bad things in real life that I don't say on this podcast. I'm not
right.
duplicitous, you know, like I, or that's not really what duplicitous means, but
this is really you along. On the podcast.
This is really me. Yeah. I don't know what words mean on the podcast and in real life.
You really don't like cheese.
Right. But you still, this moment where you know there's a minute and 16 seconds of you talking that you don't think the world is listening. Not that the world listens to TBTL, but you know what I'm saying, right?
It's just this vulnerability. And it's like no one wants to hear it.
Yes, and Bean, who's kind of a big, I don't know if you know him, he has a radio show in LA. Like, he's got tons of Twitter followers. He was tweeting out twice yesterday, like, hey, I was on the show, listen to it. And like, so, and I'm seeing like non-TBTL listeners respond to him. Can't wait to check it out. And I'm like, and the thing is, like, any other podcast system I've ever dealt with before APM, God love APM. They allow us to do things like 24-hour marathons and stuff like that. But they do not have a simple system for replacing a podcast file. It is Byzantine like you wouldn't believe. Yeah. Everybody there is really nice, but it's also 2 hours later in St. Paul where we're headquartered. So like I'm on the phone with Locke, who's like kind of manning the midnight hours there. It's like 10:30 or something his time. And he's trying to fix it for me, but then of all times, like, even the usual fix we have isn't working. He's like, I'm going to have to up-level this.
You're also, like, the babysitter for the show this week, too. Oh, so, no, like, it's even, it's like...
You broke mom's favorite vase.
You poisoned the person's dog that you're supposed to be watching. Yes. Like.
Also, I poisoned a dog yesterday, too. Like,
so it was just a really rough day.
I didn't want to talk about that.
Oh, man.
But anyway, we finally got to figure it out. But, like, then there was this moment. I don't know why I'm dragging this out. Why did I even bring this stupid
because
story up?
Because self-flagellation feels good sometimes.
Yeah, I need to get it out. Because I don't know how many of you actually heard that. At one point, he's like, I'm going to have to up-level this. You never want to hear that. When you're dealing with, you know, somebody who's on the kind of the overnight shift. And then, so he up-levels it by emailing me and this other person.
He has to wake somebody up, probably.
Well, actually, I misspoke before. I think it's 10:30 their time at this point. Are you taking a selfie?
Yeah, I am taking a selfie. You keep going. I was just reminded that I need to tweet that I'm going to be on this podcast.
Every fiber of my being said, content. Don't ask her, but I couldn't not ask you. Anyway.
You just wanted something to talk about other than your shame. Your minute and 60 seconds.
Is that embarrassing?
Shame.
Can I embarrass you also?
Now I'm working with this guy via Slack. They're like, let's handle this via Slack. And I'm just like, I'm an old man. Like, I just need to be on the phone with my customer service representative.
You have a landline,
right?
I can call.
Right.
Can I dial in on ISDN?
So now I'm like on Slack and I'm like wondering, like, in between messages, how much time do I have to allow before I'm kind of like, oh, this is still urgent, guys.
Still
like, yeah. And at one point I was just kind of like, and the guys I was working with were great, by the way. I don't want to tell tales out of school, but again, not usually doing this stuff via Slack. I wasn't sure what good protocol is. I don't want to be the asshole producer in Seattle who's like, are you guys on this? Like, what's going on? But I also need to let them know this is kind of a big deal. Like, Bean's tweeting this out. It's kind of embarrassing for Bean, too. I still don't know if he knows about this.
You haven't talked to Bean about it?
No.
I'll find out when he hears the show today.
I don't think I have to.
You know what? Honestly, only if he comes to you.
Yes, exactly. Why do I need to bring it up?
I'm going
to
be real honest.
And I don't think he'll hear this. Well, he might. Damn it. Anyway, sorry, Bean. They did get it fixed, but like I was like, Genevieve said this was pretty diplomatic. The way I was able to express my urgency after 10 minutes had gone by on this one Slack conversation, I just said, well, what's going on your end? Is there a way we can just pull the file totally until we get this cleared up? Because we had a guest on today.
One.
Just like take down the bad one. And that kind of, I think, expressed that, like, I would rather not have a podcast than have this
Which
in the
is
world.
So rare. Like, I think so many of us would rather, I would rather do anything other than take something down.
Yes, of course.
You know, like anytime you have like a typo or something, I'm like, I don't want to unpublish it altogether. I just want to fix it. And so if you're willing to take it down, it must be, like, pretty bad.
You know what I'm not going to do this, but you know what the funny thing about this is? And that's where this show is, like, catharsis. Because yesterday, it took them probably at least an hour.
Oh,
and I'm
God.
Freaking out. And the worst part was when I had done all the work I could do on my end. I trouble-checked, I troubleshot everything. And then it was totally in their hands, and I didn't have anything to do anymore. But I also felt like, well, I can't relax. I was looking for quizzes for you guys. I just started taking this quiz of how many Seattle neighborhoods you can name.
Oh, my like, God.
I didn't do very good on that.
Well, you were under duress.
Now I'm tempted to actually play you the minute and 16, but like I won't do that because it's not that good.
No. But it's got to be like this hidden gem. Yeah. Now. Like the people who heard it, and everybody else just has to miss out.
But luckily, there is nothing horrible that I said in there, but it is super embarrassing. Anyway,
because you're going to apologize to the listeners?
Sorry, listeners. Sorry, Bean. Thank you, Locke. Thank you, Peter, for helping us out. Sorry, Austin. Sorry, Snohomish.
Who's not from Austin?
all right. Speaking of embarrassing things I did on the show yesterday, I was thanking the donors of the day, and somebody was from University Place, which I know is not around here, but in the moment, I was like, wait, University Place. And I was getting it confused with University Village. And then Bean said, yeah, I know. And then now I don't even know if Bean was joking when he said that. And I was just an idiot. It was like one of those moments where I couldn't Google it on the fly. I was just trying to get through the segment. So we mistakenly said that University Place is in Seattle.
I thought we were answering emails.
We are. And so I got this thing from Marcy.
It's actually the corrections corner?
Yes.
Oh, it kind of is.
And Marcy says, I'm sure you've already heard from several Tacomi 10s on this subject, but I figured may as well pile on. Regarding the location of one of yesterday's donors, Jordan, University Place is just southwest of Tacoma proper as you head towards Steilacoom, or Lakewood. It was named for University of Puget Sound after the university purchased land there for a new campus in the 1800s. They didn't end up building there and sold the land back to the city of Tacoma. University Place was incorporated as its own city in 1995, just to set the record straight.
That's a great collection.
That is good. I thought it was northwest of Tacoma, I learned something today.
Yeah, that's interesting. Thank you. That is from Marcy. Did I see everything that... By the way, this is the first time I've ever met Hannah. I just know everything from social media. But you were posting...
Also, it's not the first time we met.
Oh, that's right. I keep saying that.
I used to be an intern at KOW when Andrew was not an intern. And so it's fine that nobody paid attention to me because I was like 20 years old and an intern.
But did we... Okay, let's just do a little bit of real talk here, although I'm probably just going to end up embarrassing myself more. Did we work together a lot?
Not a lot, but like, I was like call screening and doing producing for Weekday with...
Okay. Enough to remember that you were in the same vicinity as her.
That is really odd because I... and I apologize, but I straight up told you, like, I'm a fan of yours, so I'm not trying to neg you here. But it is odd because I don't remember how we ended up kind of following each other on Facebook, even maybe it was from that time, but I just kind of saw you started Seattle-ish.
I don't think so. Well, because we had like other like people who worked there, and because like Andy Hurst is a friend of mine.
Right.
And
you're friends with Andy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And so like I knew like other people.
Anyway, I apologize. I'm not saying that
fine.
To nag you. I think also keep in mind though, like I was a part timer there too, who was just barely, and so like it was just like there were a lot of people, and I never felt like I worked there.
Forgettable small white girl. So I mean, I get it.
Right. That's your other blog.
We do all look the same.
Forgettable small white girl.
Yes.
But did I see that you posted yesterday that you are you in love with Tacoma?
Spokane. No, I recently fell in love with Spokane.
What about Spokane?
Yeah.
I don't know. So I was there over the weekend and I ended up taking a couple like work meetings while I was there. And there's like some stuff because I'm a writer, but I also work in politics. And so there's a lot of really interesting political happenings over there. But also just like a friend of mine took me around to a couple of bars and like they were super fun, like totally my style, like divey bars with shitty beer. I was just like everywhere and like good food and it's cheap, like crazy,
so cheap.
Crazy cheap. Like I made the mistake of looking at Zillow and I was like, oh no. Oh no. And like a really big like brewing scene. Yeah. So Spokane is my new, that's where I'm going to move to, I think.
Yeah.
I like it.
I like that vibe. Hey, let's talk about LL Bean for a second. I don't know if you guys heard this, but LL Bean rescinded its lifetime return policy.
Yeah, no more lifetime.
Did you know about that?
No,
did you know about the policy?
I knew about the policy.
So people were like buying, you could buy something at like a thrift store and if it was LL Bean brand, you could return it like 10 years later. And they just rescinded that. And Luke and I were like, the amount of money they were probably doling out to people who abuse the system must be such a tiny part of their pie. It doesn't seem like that'd be a huge factor. I got some info on that from listener John, but were you about to say something?
No, what did John say?
John says, hey dummies, a fun fact to give some context to the story. The company contends it has paid out $250 million over the past 5 years.
Whoa.
Well, that's $50 million.
And that's for merchandise that it characterizes as destroy quality.
Yeah, because that was the thing, was everything was like lifetime guaranteed. So even if you like ran your boots over and then fed them to an alligator, but you retrieved part of the soul, you could send it
back. And if those were alligator boots, you're a sick bastard.
That's so rude.
That's
gross. So hateful.
I would also be interested to know what time period those products were from and whether or not they were like really right. old things that they were having to destroy and redo if they were new things that were perhaps coming from a different production line than their old stuff when they initially created this policy.
Yeah, right.
And they're like, oh, this thing does not last as long. It has to be destroyed and replaced.
John says that John, by the way, writing from Oslo, Norway, which I believe is in the U district, says I grew up in Portland, just 20 minutes from the flagship store. I always appreciated their return policy, though I'm not ever sure I actually returned anything myself. My dirtbag brothers, however, would regularly raid my closet and drawers for bean stuff and then return it whenever they needed extra cash. Dirtbags. Love the show.
John, Maine is a wild place.
Yeah, it really is.
Maine gets weird.
New England, man. I lived in New Hampshire for a long time. It's oh man. Not a lot of crime in New Hampshire, but dark ass crime in New Hampshire. Like crazy shit.
Interesting.
Let's not get into it. Too dark.
Well, I mean, obviously the boot return ring that is bankrupting LL Bean.
That's just the tip of the iceberg, folks. Cindy also wrote in about the LL Bean thing. Can you believe we're already out of Doogie Howser theme music? Should I just get this going again?
I mean, with so many emails that we've read, what else could have happened?
Hey, listen, it's been a frenzy.
I was doing some self-care.
I appreciate you. And Andrew, I forgive you,
by the way. Thank you. But can I forgive myself?
I don't know.
Cindy says, while listening to today's episode, I started feeling guilty about the time I somewhat accidentally took. Oh, by the way, she posted this to Facebook. I think it's okay that I share it. She started thinking about the time that she accidentally took over advantage of L.L. Bean's lifetime return policy. She says, I bought an L.L. Bean raincoat at Goodwill only to find out it was no longer water repellent. I really liked the coat, so I called L.L. Bean to see if they had some stuff I could spray on the coat to renew it. They told me they didn't sell anything like that, but they would honor their return policy if I sent the coat back. So keep in mind, she bought this at a thrift store. I responded that it was really old, but they said it didn't matter. So I sent the coat in, and because they didn't sell that style anymore, I got a check for store credit that was much more than I paid at Goodwill. And I still feel squirmy about it.
Oh,
I feel like
that's very sweet of her.
Yeah, I feel like you really tried.
Yeah.
Unless you were calling and you were like, hey, do you have any repellent spray? And you kind of knew in the back of your head you were hoping, you know.
This is a very honest, what a wonderful woman to feel bad about that. But like, those are the kinds of things that like when I was a youth and I was very poor and I had all kinds of schemes. I had a lot of schemes.
Did you have schemes?
Oh, I fully had schemes. And one of my schemes was to like go to like Goodwill and look for like designer stuff and then like go sell it to, you know, whatever, to Crossroads.
To Crossroads, which is another resale shop. It's just a higher end. That's up and up, right?
Yeah. And it's like, they give you cash. But I never did do the LL Bean scheme.
Yeah.
And so that's, But I would not be surprised if people for whom L.L. Bean was more of a staple where they grew up, if they were just like doing it.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like it would mostly be people who can just drive there, right? Like going through the whole shipping thing seems. Well, I want to hear more about your schemes. Did you sell books from KUOW?
Oh, I did. Yeah, I definitely did. I did.
Did you ever get questioned? Like, where'd you get all these books?
No.
Really?
It was back in the Half Price Books days, and they were really don't ask, don't tell about that kind of thing.
I got questioned at Half Price Books on why I had so many new release books.
Didn't I used to load you up with Cairo books?
Yes.
Or am I misremembering that?
Yeah, I did. I sold Cairo books at Half Price Books, and they're like, where'd you get all these? And I was like, oh, I work for the company that sends us.
But that was legit. They came in my name.
Yeah.
I never asked for them, and I would have a huge thing
of
books.
And it's not like it's a galley copy. Like, if they sent, like, you know, because I always would get galley copies as a writer, and so it was like, they're like when I was a reporter. And nobody wants those. You can't sell a galley copy.
That's,
nobody
like a
wants.
That's a pre-sale version of it.
Yeah. Like sometimes it's an uncorrected proof and it's like nobody wants that.
No. And also, and that does feel a little bit like, that's like the equivalent of leaving a ISDN breakup in a podcast. You know what I mean? That wasn't ready for prime time. But all right. Okay, that's it. Those are all my emails. How long did we go? We went for an hour and 6 minutes. That's a respectable podcast length, right?
Yeah.
Anything else you guys want to
get? Once you cut everything out.
Oh, yeah. Don't worry. I won't forget.
But won't you?
Anything else on your guys' minds? Anything you want to get off your chest?
I'm sorry you had to go through that yesterday. That's really traumatic. I'm traumatized thinking about it.
Ugh, it's my fault. But yeah, it does. It is weird when your brain goes from just like this incredibly relaxed end of day to just this just panic.
Not a fun
pure
feeling.
Pure panic.
And it is like that is a stress dream I have had about writing and working in it. Like, that is literally the kind of thing that wakes me up in the morning as I'm not supposed to quite yet be awake, and it's because I've had a dream of something like that happening.
Was there anything in today's show? No, we didn't stop down, right? The line never went bad.
No, you guys are in the room. You can leave me sniffling in there.
Okay, we'll leave you sniffling in, me gurgling at times. Why not?
Should I make a weird noise?
Yeah.
Should I switch over here?
I'm putting 5 seconds on the clock. Feel free to make a weird noise. All right. You got some water? Good. All right. That's it, guys. Thank you so much. Hannah, where can people find you? I mentioned before that you're the co-founder of Seattle-ish, but yes. I know that that's kind of, I don't know if it's on hiatus or if it's just donezo.
We just kind of put a pillow over its face because it was too much. It was work and we weren't, we never had ads and we never really took any money. We got donations literally just to keep the lights on. And it was really a high degree of work. So we were like, we're going to put this to sleep for
a while.
You're
still tweeting as Seattle-ish.
We do tweet sometimes. And that was sort of our agreement. We were like, we would like to, and also like we built a very active Twitter following on, and so we use it still as like a bat signal kind of. Mm-hmm. So Seattle-ish.
And around election times, that's a good Twitter
follow. We try. And then I tweet a lot, and I'm at Ms. Hannah Brooks. But you can also find my writing monthly. I have a column in Real Change, but that's I do that as a volunteer.
Do you have a byline on that? I have scanned through. I haven't seen.
I mean, they don't have like a super great website.
No. I mean, on the paper version.
Oh yeah, once a month.
Your name is actually in there. Oh, I see. Once a month and it's a weekly paper. Yeah. So maybe I've just haven't.
Yeah,
seen.
Yeah. It's usually
when in the month.
It's usually towards the end of the month, and so the last one I was in was the one with Enrique Serna on it, and so I'm in that one. Gotcha. And I have a column where I write about just like access issues and things that people who live outside sometimes face that sheltered people might not think about.
That's a Real Change is a newspaper that is sold by and also is it like written by homeless folks as well?
Sometimes, and it's sold by people, anybody who wants to, who is like lower income, and so a lot of people are like sheltered or nominally sheltered, they have a couple of staff reporters who honestly do some of the best reporting on homelessness and poverty issues in the city. And anytime someone's like, oh, I buy the paper like just to support the organization, I'm like, no man, crack that paper up and it's got good stuff in it. But then there is members from the community do write sometimes and like help out with some of the stuff. And then the Real Change office in Pioneer Square also really serves as like a hub for, you know, connection to services. And a lot of the vendors get their mail there and that kind of thing. So it's sort of a real like...
That's a huge thing.
Yeah. So it's a really... ballots get mailed to Real Change for people who want to vote.
That's cool.
Yeah. So like it's very comprehensive sort of... service that it offers, but also like it employs, you know, some really great journalists. Ashley Archibald is the main reporter and she's incredible. And like we did a whole package this year. I worked with her and with Casey Jaywork, who used to work for the Seattle Weekly. And we did a whole big package on the sweeps, like encampment sweeps and how much they cost and like how much it costs the city to just sort of keep moving people around, which was super cool.
Oh wow.
Yeah, so I do that. Where else can people read me? I mean, I freelance a lot of places. I have freelanced for all kinds of
stuff. So just Google you.
Yeah, seriously, that is like, I hate to say that, but that is kind of.
And there's no H on the end of Hannah.
And there's no H at the end. And the reason people always ask me this, the reason that I go by my full name with my middle name in there is not because it's my maiden name or anything like that. It's because when I first started writing in like 2007, there was a Swedish cam girl named Hannah Olsen and she had the SEO corner on the market.
Really?
Yes. Spelled the same way. Yeah. So I was like, well, good thing my mom gave me this middle name that I can use.
Well, it's good branding, frankly. Hannah Brooks Olsen. And that's also what I was going to say before about keeping Seattle-ish alive as a Twitter account is smart because that's just kind of good branding. Like that's a good brand you guys built.
It was honestly shocking that we were able to get it. And that was a website that we built on just beer and ire and pettiness. Like, I mean, we published like just, probably 25% out of pettiness. Yes. Just really wanting to like shove a middle finger at somebody.
Right. And, right. The gawker mentality.
Yeah.
Sort of.
And it worked, man. But you know, we got some good work out there too.
Well, I am saying it's on hiatus cause I believe it will come back someday.
You know,
whether you do it or not.
Maybe
I'll create a black market Seattle-ish. Nick, I'm sorry, I got distracted.
Oh,
for
yeah,
a second.
Me.
I know we got to wrap this up, and I know it seems like
Nick's
I'm just dragging
here?
This up. No, I was about to say goodbye to you, and then I'm looking at my notes, and I realize I forgot I want to talk to you guys about something. We don't have to go really into this, but Genevieve brought up a really good point that I had never even thought of before. This is apropos of literally nothing we've
Cannot
talked
wait.
About. Flat earthers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do they think other planets are flat, too?
Or do they think that they're round?
I think they think that they're round.
We're the only flat planet.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh.
Like the Earth is flat and there's a dome over the Earth that all of these other celestial bodies appear in.
Really? They think there's a dome.
Yeah. I mean, you look up at the sky, you can see the curve of the atmosphere. Like most ancient societies that believed that the Earth was flat believed that there was a dome over it.
Because I wondered if they just thought we're all a bunch of tiles floating around. Because, like, why would you believe that, like, all the other planets
are... Are the other planets actually round, or are the other planets domed tiles?
Yeah, I believe that they believe they're round.
But why are we the only flat planet?
Because we're the center of the universe. We're a flat planet.
And, like, we're the center of the universe.
Oh, because they're like Copernican or whatever. Like,
yeah. I think they're not
or the Copernican. Opposite of whatever that is. Yeah. Like
anyway, I'm glad we were able to get that in there. Okay, so
we have a lot of information on this subject.
We did it, Nick Jarn. Everybody knows you are the co-host of Northwest Nerd Podcast. Anything else you want people to go to?
Nope, that's the one. We have a new episode out. We put it out on Valentine's Day, so we talked to some relationship experts about why it is particularly weird to date and have relationships in the nerdy Northwest. So that was particularly fun. Also, Dyer, my podcast partner, Dyer Oxley, excellent journalist. Talked to Seattle police because convention season is coming up. There's going to be a lot of cosplayers taking over the city a couple weekends coming up here, like the first weekend of March. And they have some great stories about not only the interactions that they've had with people, because, by the way, it is not illegal to be nude. Don't call the police about that if you see somebody in body paint. But there's also some other gems in there, including what happens when you leave your homemade lightsaber on public transit and people see something and say something.
No, they said something. They saw something and they said something.
Oh, and then also, speaking of conventions, actually, we have an event coming up on March 2nd. We're throwing a Emerald City Comic Con after party and cosplay contest. You can find it on Facebook. Just search for NW Nerd and it'll
pop
up.
Will you dress up this time, please?
Probably not.
Not even for the party?
No.
I mean, he hosts these cosplay things and he doesn't even like put on a set of
what
ears.
Is that?
That's what the judges wear cosplay. I'm not trying to. I don't like costumes that much as a thing. Like,
what?
I don't like wearing them myself.
Wait.
I mean, I don't either, but I don't host these things.
I don't wear them myself. Like, what's exciting is when other people do it well. I don't want to do it terrible and be in the same room as them. That's even more embarrassing.
This is like a flat earth or really loving round planets is what this is like.
That's exactly what it's like. What song do we go out with, Nick? I only say Nick because you're always it. But Hannah, if you have an idea.
Yeah, go out with Paramedic on the Black Panther album.
All right. I'm looking for it. Is it S.O.B. and R.B.E.?
That's the one.
All right. And it's not going to make me blush with the lyrics?
I might.
All right, get ready to blush, everybody. Earmuffs, kids. Maybe. All right, thanks, everybody. Oh, how do we want to go out here? We're going to say No Mountain Too Tall, then you guys will both say good luck to
good
all.
I thought we were doing it.
No, that was just
it.
A dry run.
I was just agreeing.
Can we all agree I'm real good at this? All right, everybody. Yep. Thank you so much. Thank you guys a lot
for having me.
And thanks, everybody, for listening. And we will talk to you tomorrow. In the meantime, Luke is back tomorrow. We'll be posting the show a little bit later than usual. In the meantime, please remember, no mountain too tall.
And good luck to all. SOB, we can't move. Shit flip made, that's just something I can't relate to. Turned on a gang, that's just something that I can't do. Fall out for a bitch, that's just something that I can't do. Red bear beat, I get on, I was made to. This Glock get the growling, something like a Black Panther. Tryna touch a meal, fuck up saying get your bands up. Flip me with the gang, yeah, I had the man up. One fist in the air, I ain't finna put my... Power out.